Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it's great to be back with you today as we continue a variety of interesting topics this week. Yesterday, we talked about a hot topic, and today we're covering another one, when to talk with your kids about relationships such as boyfriends and girlfriends, when and how do you go about that? We're going to talk with clinical psychologist Dr. Jack Fiennes in just a moment. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for making sure that this show happens and supporting us in all the work that we do here. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuoam.org, go to the sponsor section, click on their logo there, and they'll take you right to their page, and you can learn all about Concordia University, Wisconsin. And also, if you'd like to join the conversation today as we talk with Dr. Jack Fiennes, you can call us at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. So we're going to talk about boyfriends and girlfriends, and joining us is clinical psychologist Dr. Jack Fiennes. Welcome, Dr. Fiennes.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. And this is my first opportunity to get to talk with you. Everybody around here had lots of great things to say about you and said that you were going to be a great guest. So I'm looking forward to talking with you about the topic today.
Well, I hope it's not too overvalued.
So, Dr. Fiennes, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a clinical psychologist, right?
That's correct. Clinical and research psychologist. My primary area of research is on a thing we call personality theory, a special focus on motivational theory, leadership theory, what causes people to be achievement-oriented, what causes kids to achieve, what causes them to get interested in fields of study, intrinsic motivation, that type of thing. Also, we've done a lot of work on test anxiety. We did some research on that we presented at Princeton University in 1979. And then a lot of work on the actor scale for ADDHD. So I'm around the waterfront a little bit, but that's sort of, and I do my clinical and consulting practice. And did some teachings, lectures at the seminaries, a lot of Concordias, et cetera. So we did a thing for actually the church post-seminary training course called Healthy Pastor, Healthy Church a few years ago. So get around a little bit.
Great. So you've got a pretty diverse background working with adults and with youth.
Right, exactly.
So let's get into our topic today, talking about when to start talking with kids about the relationships such as boyfriends and girlfriends, and how do we even start the topic, because occasionally you'll hear either kids talking with one another and as young as first grade or kindergarten joking about boyfriends and girlfriends. When do we start talking about this topic with kids?
Well, I'll give you a sidebar interest. When I was at Christ Lutheran in Salt Lake City in first grade, I was torn between two girls in the first grade class. One was Barbara Hoche, and one was Becky Knotts. My dad convinced me it was better to hang with Becky Knotts because she was a pastor's daughter, and I get further, you know. And you don't want to disappoint the pastor's daughter, so you go for that one. So, you know, it didn't do much, but it was all right. But anyway, I tell you, there's an interesting thing about boyfriends and girlfriends and relationships. It's almost what we call in my business a 1-0 thing. It's sort of a black box kind of thing. In other words, when the kids are too young to understand the concept, you know, they really don't have, they haven't developed sort of like the relationship thing themselves yet, they will never understand anything you're talking about. It'll all be like way over their heads, okay, way over their heads.
Sure.
On the other hand, once they start developing those relationships, you can't talk to them fast enough because all those hormones are flowing in, and they're going to seeing other people doing different behaviors than they did before. And so you've got to sort of be very careful as a parent to watch very carefully and specifically, not necessarily like an X-ray or like eavesdroppers, but you got to watch what their conversations are like. And if they start talking, and it's usually about, for girls, maybe about age 12, usually for guys, maybe a little earlier than that, or maybe a little later than that. But you got to listen to what they start talking about in terms of their references, in terms of who they like, or don't like, or whatever. And so somewhere between those ages of 12 and maybe 14, maybe a little younger, depending on where they're at, and of course with Facebook and all this social engineering we got going on now, it could start a little earlier. But that's when you've got to start talking to them about how you set up appropriate relationships, appropriate behaviors, things that are going to be useful for everybody without causing any troubles.
So appropriate relationships. That's thanks for opening that window there. I guess we might need a working definition of boyfriend, girlfriend, or appropriate relationships or dating. What would be a good way to define that?
Well, it's always good to do it. Kids believe or kids like to look at symbolisms or icons or pictures or you could do that by using some intellectual level stuff by saying, well, this is the kind of person you want to date, or this is the kind of person you'd like to like, etc. However, if some people do in their family have like a mom and a dad in the family, some unfortunately are single families, but if you have a mom and a dad in the family, or even a grandma and grandpa type of reference group, you can start with the kids by saying, look at how mom and dad treat each other. Look at how well uncle and aunt treat each other. Look at how well grandma and grandpa treat each other. Look at how their relationship is. And at that point, the child only knows them from how they treat each other as friends. They don't know about the dating and the romance and all that stuff. But you got to start as a role model and say, this is what appropriate is. You treat your girlfriend or boyfriend as you see mom and dad treating each other, or grandma and grandpa treat each other, or aunt or uncle treating each other. You use a role model, because then it's not just an intellectual thing, it's not just some brain thing you're teaching them. They actually can see in motion that there's not any abuse, there's not even, people treat each other well, they look out for each other, they make each other a lunch, they walk with each other, they talk to each other, whatever. That's the model you want to use if you can.
Sure.
You always with kids want to use a role model if possible, an icon.
Role models certainly serve as a good purpose. What about those times when they see models of modeling behavior of things that would be inappropriate? Can you use those as well?
Well, that's when you say that's actually a good thing, because sometimes, and not a good thing to have inappropriateness, but that's where you can say, these are the things you avoid. If there is somebody, and I don't want to get too heavy with this child, because remember their age and everything, and their perspective, they may not know all the particulars, but if you know of somebody who's mistreating somebody by bad language, bad behavior, inappropriate behavior, whatever, that's when you can say to the child, well, you know how, Mr. and Mrs. or so-and-so treat each other. This is what is inappropriate, so this is what you don't do. You don't use foul language. You don't forget birthdays. You don't forget anniversaries. You don't forget Christmas. You give hugs. You give care. The purpose of a relationship is to give care to another person. And that's, I think, the essential, I guess in medicine they have a thing that says do no harm. In relationships, it's to give care to the other person. So whatever, if you're going to talk about relationships, okay, with children, children tend to be pretty caring souls, okay, or can be very caring souls from time to time. What you want to do is make sure the relationship is not something that would be characterized as a bully. You want it to be the exact opposite of that, and you want a relationship always to be focused on giving care. Because a relationship is essentially the same thing. You can take it a little bit away from the Greek word koinonia, which is the word fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
It's embedded in that we take care of other people. In a relationship, it's a more specific fellowship with somebody, a boy and a girl who are wanting to hang out with each other, whether that's eat popcorn or take a walk or ride a bicycle or whatever you may be doing, okay? But it's always to give care to the other person. It's not one-sided where you're using the relationship for you. You're using the relationship to give care to the other person.
So before we even really start talking about boyfriends and girlfriends, we spend time talking about relationships and the basis of those relationships being love and respect for others. And then from there, talk about more specialized relationships. And that can happen over time.
That's correct. In fact, you can drop it way back. Depending how articulate or what the family background is, you can drop it way back and say, we were alone as people on this earth, okay? We were really alone at one point. Wandering around without anybody. And Jesus Christ came to give us a relationship. God entered our life as a relationship. It's not a boyfriend-girlfriend thing or whatever, but God decided to create relationships with us. And He cares. The reason He created a relationship with us is not for His own self, but for caring for us. So therefore, in mom and dad, care for each other, or aunt and uncle, whichever reference point you have, and you say, this is what a relationship between a man and a woman or a girl and a boy is it's a relationship based on the relationship that God has for us, based on the relationship our family has for us, and based on a relationship you want to have for somebody else to help give care for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very, I hate to use this term, very, very rectilinear from the very beginning. It starts at a basis of God and us, goes to family, goes to people you know, and then goes to you and that person.
Sure. On Friday, we have our first Moms Roundtable, and we're going to discuss the topic of media and kids. But just briefly, how do you deal with relationships in the media, you know, watching TV or movies and all relationships kind of all over the place and good examples, bad examples? I guess those could provide opportunities for conversation as well.
Right. In fact, quite frankly, there's a lot of media, not only TV, but also the social media like Facebook and Instagram and these kind of things that kids are really into. First of all, a lot of the media tends to focus on relationships that are bad,
mm-hmm.
or full of anger or full of abusing somebody or that type of thing. And what you tell your children or your child is that's exactly the kind of stuff we don't focus on. That's the kind of model we don't use. If your relationship with somebody turns itself into a movie that causes you fear or causes you anxiety or causes you anger or causes you to cry, then you don't want that kind of relationship. That's not an appropriate relationship. On the other hand, a relationship should be fun. It should be something where you and she or she and you have fun and enjoying each other. But your primary purpose is not to make fun of the other person. The primary purpose is to care for the other person. The other thing is, when you want to avoid, you know, like a big thing on Facebook and these things now, are people gossiping about relationships, gossiping about other people. And what you need to do is say to them, do not, you know, your relationship with the boy or the girl, it needs to be based on caring and needs to not turn itself into a scary movie, but it also needs to be a thing where you don't talk about other people in a negative way like on Facebook. Or it's private relationship between you and somebody else. Don't put it out to the world. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't allow anybody else to get involved with it.
A great opportunity to talk about the Eighth Commandment and maintaining the respect and someone else's reputation, the other person's reputation.
Yeah, the dignity of the other person. And quite frankly, unfortunately, while Facebook may be a good entity in some sense, one of its major flaws is it does promote a bad use of break of the Eighth Commandment all over the place.
Absolutely. It certainly can highlight our weakness as humans. So what you're saying is basically if your relationship has the makings of a good movie that's going to draw a lot of attention, then it's probably not the most, probably not the healthiest and most appropriate relationship.
That's correct. What you want to do is not create a movie that is like, well, I don't know, these movies are the names of, you know, like the old movies like Scream or Scream 2 or something. You know, you don't want a relationship that is so, provoking that you wouldn't want to, it scares you when you see it in the movie theater. You want a relationship that may be just plain enjoyable. You go get a pizza every once in a while, or you go take a walk with a dog, or you go take a bike ride or something. It doesn't have to be thrilling. It doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be bullying. It has to be just something where you care for somebody because they care for you. That's the basis of any relationship. And quite frankly, once you get that started, once that gets established, then you can go in all kinds of directions with it, but it will always be wholesome. Because wholesome and appropriate is always caring for the other person. You're not abusing. You're not hurting. You're not absorbing. You're holding the other person in love.
How do you keep the lines of communication open, specifically about this subject, about boyfriends and girlfriends? How do you keep the lines of communication open? I sometimes hear parents joking about their little kid, their first grader or kindergartner or elementary school child, little Johnny has a girlfriend at school, and kind of teasing him about it. Does that affect those lines of communication and whether or not he's going to want to talk about that in the future?
Well, boys and girls are a little different, okay? First of all, girls, there always is a little difference. First of all, girls tend not to really want to talk about their crushes or whatever you want to call that language, you know, that relationship going on, because it's sort of embarrassing, and that's why they want to keep it more private. So you got to be very careful, little girl, about, and a little boy too. Don't embarrass them as much as you. I mean, don't try to make it a joke, because it's really not a joke to them. It's not a joke to them. It's real. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful with the joking behavior, but you might want to, you know, just particularly this is where it breaks down. A mom could be more likely to talk to a daughter about her relationships, and a guy could probably be more likely to talk to the guy about his relationships, and just basically use a very simple language like, how is it going, okay? How is your, you know, not what are you doing, not what are you, when are you going to, not so much as how is it going, just sort of on the side, how is it going? And if you take that sort of model, and you're not like inquiring like the FBI or something, okay, you know, you're not giving them you put them on the stand for a cross-examination. If you say, how is it going, sort of laid back over a bratwurst or over a hot dog at a picnic, then they generally will open up and say, yeah, well, you know, we did this, we wanted this, or she talked to me about that. But, you know, that's the kind of thing how you get in the network. But if you do a Torquemada Inquisition, you're not going to get anywhere, okay? And never joke about it, because, quite frankly, they think it's real. If you joke about it, then they think you're trying to be, you're condescending.
Right.
And then the communication gets shut off immediately.
For the parent with the teenager who asks that question, how's it going? How's your relationship? How's your friendship with so-and-so? And their child or their teen answers, fine.
Well, you know, then I think what you got to do is say, you got to listen to how they say fine, okay? Fine can be very, you know, final, like, don't ask me any more questions.
Right.
And then I take the hint, okay, and maybe wait a while till they ask again, and which I'll talk about in a second. Or if it's sort of a fine and they're laughing or smiling, you know it's okay, okay? I mean, if it's, you know, depending on how they're smiling or looking at you.
That's true.
But you need to say to them, well, I just want to double check because I know you spend a lot of time with them and make sure everybody's happy, you know? And just then maybe after the, you know, if they said fine or whatever first, okay, you might want to maybe a few weeks later say, hey, you said fine last time, still fine, yeah. Well, let me just, you know, what are you thinking of doing this weekend? What are you going to be doing with her? Ask them about some degree of details about their activities, not necessarily about the relationship itself. You start with something bland like, how's it going? Later on you get into, well, what kind of things are you going to be doing this weekend? You going to take a bike ride or whatever? That kind of thing is how you get into it.
I'm picturing the teenager that says fine and rolls his or her eyes.
Then you say, well, I guess that's a topic we're not going to talk about today. You know? And you go along with it and say, you know, you could take the reverse and go after like the FBI, but you'll get nowhere, okay?
Yeah.
And you'll build up a place where they create a secret relationship between them and the other lady or the girl or boy or whatever, and you won't be allowed in. So if you say, well, I guess that's the topic, not the topic of conversation, I'll ask in a few weeks when maybe it's not so fine, or just find out what you're doing, and then let it go, okay? That you can make a joke of, okay? The fact that they might get a kick out of you making a joke, in fact, they're not talking to you about it, okay? Be paradoxical about it. Do not charge in, because if you charge in, you will get nowhere. You'll just get resentment.
Mm-hmm. More than likely, the tendency is to put up a wall and not continue that communication openly then.
That's right. And so what you want to do is you always, as a parent, or as a caretaker, want to be, remember the word care in there, you want to be open to the fact that in case it doesn't get fine, in case something does blow up, in case somebody does drop somebody, they can come to you and say, oh man, that's a mess I got myself into. And then they can talk to you about it. Always have the door open for the inevitable damage or issue or whatever could happen in a relationship they don't like. Okay, and that's, you always want to be open to that, not necessarily be the finder of fact or the finder of truth up front. You want to be the person who's like a hospital that takes care of them afterwards.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good topic I want to talk about, too. How do you help them through a breakup? I want to get to that as well. We've got a break here coming up in just a little bit, and I certainly want to talk about that. Before the break, though, I want to get into the biology, the signs. You mentioned earlier, watch for watching for how they're communicating and some of the signs of what's going on in those in the relationships, the biology and what's going on biologically, through the teen years or the early onset years that are going to affect that communication, that's going to affect how they perceive their relationship with their parents, the relationship with their friends, with the boyfriend, girlfriend. What's happening that parents need to understand that we need to know?
What's happening, quite frankly, in both girls at a certain age, we want to go to the development stuff. It's not a biology class per se, but sort of. Girls tend to develop with the hormones and everything, develop into a person who wants a community, wants a relationship with somebody. They want to hang on with somebody. They want to develop some kind of caring group with somebody. That's where it starts at. Boys, on the other hand, look for girls that they think are good-looking. I mean, which is sort of, that one is more community-oriented, one is more looks-oriented, or that type of thing. And that's the biology thing, and that's the sort of thing you sort of listen to. Like a girl, your daughter will come to you and say, he seems like a really nice guy. He seems like he always helps the teacher. He seems like he's always there to talk to me. He always wants to have a friendship, okay? That's the kind of language you'll hear from the girl when they're getting to that point to talk about it. Guys will say, she's a really nice-looking girl. She does really good in volleyball. She looks good when she's running, or she looks, whatever. You'll listen to that kind of language. When you hear those kind of languages coming from the kids, you know they're ready for the talk on relationships.
Gotcha.
And it's a community, caring, coupling language from the lady. It's the looks, attractiveness, design look from the guys.
So, guys, it's more about what they see. Girls, it's about belonging in
yes.
general. Obviously,
yes.
every child is different.
Community, caring. He's a nice guy. He seems like such a nice guy. He's always talking to me after Spanish class or mm-hmm. whatever.
Okay. Well, we have a question from Eric via email. He says, my children are not young, 9 and 10, so I'm not sure how this will play out, but I tell them they are not allowed to date until they're ready to marry. Do you think this is being too strict?
Well, if they're going to get married at 16, I'm just kidding. I really watch for I don't like a lot of demands or controls. I mean, I think that marriage is a concept that most kids at age 9 and 10 don't even understand. I mean, that means you're paying a utility bill, renting, and you get a dog or something like that. I think that what I would do is say, relationships are very important to have, good ones, because that's how you develop a relationship that might turn into marriage. So you make marriage very valuable, very sacred, and what you say, well, at this point in the game, in terms of relationships, you're learning how to develop the relationship with somebody else before they decide to get married, okay? But I don't like a lot of signs on the highway that say, 200 miles till marriage, and don't take this exit, and if you're going to get married, like there's a lot of guidelines and controls, because sometimes it scares kids away. They don't know what's going on.
And we don't want them to think that marriage is unattainable either. Okay.
Right, exactly.
Sure, that it's certainly we want them to regard it. We want them to understand that it's a good institution created by God. We want them to appreciate it and value it, and point them to good examples of
right.
of marriage and good examples of healthy relationships.
Exactly.
So, while it might be okay to joke about it, we want to make sure that your 9 and 10 year old understand that what real healthy relationships are, and that boyfriends and girlfriends, that relationships prior to marriage can be preparing them for a relationship in marriage.
That's correct. That's
okay.
correct.
Good. Well, I would like to remind our listeners, thanks to Eric for that question. If you would like to join the conversation, if you're listening today and you want to join the conversation, you can call us in the studio at 314-821-0850 or outside of the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727, or email us your questions at family@kfuo.org. Well, Dr. Fiennes, this is a great conversation. I want to talk, when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit more about the tumultuous teenage years. We've talked a little bit about younger kids and how to start talking about these relationships, how to start these conversations. But when we come back, I want to talk about those tumultuous years and the tears and caring for our teens through those years. How do we endure those conversations, being prepared for those breakups, being prepared for those sad days, and even when the situation seems kind of silly in our eyes, how do we care for our teens and help them through those relationships so they have healthy relationships down the road?
Sounds good.
All right. So we'll stick around, stay with us on the line. And again, listeners, if you want to join the conversation, email us at family@kfuo.org or call us at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Stick around with Dr. Jack Fiennes on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Legislation is being introduced in Congress that stops abortion after 20 weeks in the womb because the baby feels the pain of abortion. One of those testifying was Dr. Maureen Kondik, Associate Professor of Neurobiology and Anatomy at the University of Utah. She's a scientist who's been widely published in peer-reviewed journals. She knows her stuff. Dr. Kondik testified there's universal agreement babies feel pain in the first trimester, but she says it's documented babies feel pain at 8 weeks, and to expose a baby to pain for any reason is barbaric. But Planned Parenthood and others are living in the dark ages. They deny this humanity of the unborn and accepted science by opposing this humane bill. Many would call this just plain ignorance.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Live Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Time Magazine's cover story, The Child-Free Life, with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute. We'll talk to Robert McGinnis about women in combat, and we'll get a review of the movie Pacific Rim with Pastor Ted Giese.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Our mission at KFUO is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Today's internet capabilities give us the opportunity to do that. Listeners from all over the world can follow the ministry of KFUO via our website, Facebook, Wi-Fi radios, and smartphone apps. You can listen to KFUO Radio 24 hours a day, anywhere, with our on-demand programs and live audio streams. Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.
Becoming a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor is easy in the 21st century. First, pick a reason to celebrate, a birthday, an anniversary, or other event, and call me, Mary Schmidt, or Joni Harwell at 1-800-844-0524. For helping support the worldwide outreach of KFUO, you'll receive announcements on KFUO for a special date honoring your day sponsorship. Call us at 1-800-844-0524.
The co-founder of a mosque just blocks from Fort Hood says the shooting rampage that killed 13 people at the Texas Army Post in 2009 was un-Islamic. Osman Dankwa says members of the Islamic community of Greater Killeen are praying for survivors of the attack as Major Nidal Hassan goes on trial for murder. Hassan, who's representing himself, says he was protecting fellow Muslims from American aggression. But Dankwa says the Quran teaches
to take the life of another human, as if you've killed all of humanity. There's no defense for that.
I asked the Islamic community's president, Mustafa Salam, if Major Hassan attended their mosque.
Maybe on several occasions he may have.
But he says no one at the mosque knows Hassan. Dankwa says he and Salam are veterans, and most of their congregation is military.
We pray and ask Almighty God to heal our community and to heal the society, and we pray for peace.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we're talking about bringing up the discussion of boyfriends and girlfriends with your children and later on with teens, too, how to handle those relationships. And we're talking with clinical psychologist Dr. Jack Fiennes. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so. You can call us in the studio at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or email us at family@kfuo.org. So welcome back. Welcome back, Dr. Fiennes.
Hello there.
And it looks like Cheryl is joining us from Indianapolis. Cheryl has a question for us. And Cheryl, are you there?
Yes. I just was hoping that you could discuss the viewpoint that research has been done that females in their relationships, they're always craving love and caring, and the males are always seeking significance and they want respect. How does this relate to children and developing relationships?
Good question.
Okay. I think I heard her say it. There's sort of a little bit of a weak connection here. I heard her say that some research has shown that girls are looking towards creating relationships and kids in dating relationships, versus guys are always looking for significance and respect. Is that what she said?
Girls, yes, focusing primarily on love in relationships and men focusing more on respect.
I haven't necessarily seen that, a lot of the research. I know that there's a lot of gender differences there. There's been a lot of studies of a lot of what are considered normative studies of what everybody that's a boy does and everybody that's a girl does. And it is true indeed that in terms of girls in a relationship, like I said earlier, you start noticing that they want to have a community, have a caring relationship with somebody else, and so that's one of your tip marks. You know something's going to happen with the development of relationships. And guys do tend to lack a lot of respect. I think that the word that would sum that up would be, guys like a lot of attention, okay? Guys want to be known for that they're a good football player, a good soccer player, they do good in school, or they're really good at their violin or whatever they're doing, okay? And so I think that if you do have a situation with a boy-girl relationship, with a girl, if you've got a young lady, you need to say, I know that one of your interests is making sure you have a good community, a good relationship, a good fellowship with the guy, but be wary that the guy is going to want a lot of attention. He's going to want to be the person who gets respected for some things. Let them know up front what might be going on, what might happen. I'm not saying it will. With a guy, it's more important you say to them, listen, make sure this relationship is not just about you, not just about what you think is cool, not just about what you get attention for and what respect. That your relationship with her is about caring for her. If she wants a pizza, a Domino's pizza, and you don't want to get a Domino's pizza, maybe it'd be fun that night to get a Domino's pizza. You know, if you want to go to pick a movie, ask her what she would like, okay? So you move the girl, you have the girl understand where she's coming from, and that the guy is sometimes going to be more narrow, more myopic, more narrow-minded, and then nearsighted, let's say. And for the guy, you got to make sure to get out of your nearsightedness, get out of your selfhood, and focus more on taking care of her.
Great. So what you're saying is,
take people where they're at, and you let them adjust to where the other person may be coming from.
Mm-hmm. So for boys, we have to learn how to think outside ourselves and beyond ourselves.
Oh, yeah. I think we do when we're 50 and 60, too.
Right? Cheryl?
I mean, last week when we were hiking around the fossils in Utah, I had this great idea to climb up here and look at some petroglyphs, and my wife said, no, it's time for lunch. Guess what happened?
Okay? It was time for lunch.
Yeah, we got the petroglyphs later. They'd already been there for 1,200 years. They could last another hour. Okay?
Cheryl, did we answer your question?
Yes, thank you for your program.
Thanks for joining us today. So, Dr. Fiennes, what about those teen years when we get to that point where things get tumultuous and somebody's feelings get hurt? Let's talk about it from, with girls and talk about it with boys.
Well, it's about the same thing. The difference is that guys just get disgusted and girls get deep about it. But let me tell you what, okay? Parents, the worst thing to do is to be, for parents, I'm going to talk about parents first, is they get all stressed out, okay, about the teen years and what's going to be happening. Assume it's going to occur. It's just like when you bring a baby home. When I brought my two kids home, I've got four grandkids and two kids. everybody needed their diapers changed. That's six different kids having their diapers changed. If I got challenged about that, I'd have a big fix. I mean, it'd be in a big mess because I wouldn't be ready for that. I'd be, oh my goodness, I got to change all these diapers all the time, okay? But we sort of go along with it. You have a new baby, you got new diapers, okay? The bottom line when they get to teenagers, you know, assume it's going to be tumultuous. If you know that's how it's going to be, and it will be, there's never been a human born that hasn't been tumultuous, okay? When you assume it's tumultuous, you'll be ready for it. I mean, you are ready for those kind of things. I mean, it's like when you get a cold in the winter or whenever. You take cold medicine, okay? You cough, you have nose issues, you take cold medicine. If you're going to be a teenager, you're going to be tumultuous. So gear yourself up for it, okay? And it depends how many kids you have in the family. You may have a lot of gears to gear up for, okay? But assume that. So therefore, it's not as vexing, as it possibly can be. Number two, listen, care, hug. Don't go listen to what they have to say. For girls, they will usually unload. They'll pick one parent or somebody in their family to unload with, okay? And that could be a long-term, I don't mean years, but a long-term couple weekends, couple days. They cry, they moan, they groan, they grieve. And you listen to what they say. Don't try to investigate. Don't try to become Sigmund Freud. Don't interpret their stuff. Just listen, okay? Because you don't want to be there. You don't want to be Oprah Winfrey giving them advice unless they ask for it, unless you see something really telling you got to ask, talk about. But most of the time, it's a good listen. For guys, it's like, she dumped me, or I dumped her, or I got somebody else. They got short-term, almost seismic tectonic shifts, and they just don't want to talk about it. They just want to say, you know, they want somebody like usually a dad or a mom to say, oh, okay, you know, it's terrible. We've been there. I've done that. I've been dumped by a number of people, and this has been blah. And say, my mom used to always say, there's other fish in the sea, okay, or whatever, okay? So there's the girl you listen to a lot. You don't investigate. You give her a chance to get it out of her system. For the guy, you generally it's more tectonic. It's not that it's not emotional with a girl, but it's more like a shift, an attitude shift, a change, and you just going to say, well, that's the way, you know, I've been there, done that, let's go to somebody else, okay? But you might have a guy that wants to cry and talk about it, and that's also listen, okay? Always be the listener. Remember, we're trying to show giving care.
And modeling in that relationship with them what love and respect looks like so that they
can
carry it out.
Exactly, you know? And try to make sure the guy, with a guy in particular or the girl, they don't come away like, well, that guy's a blankety, blankety, blank. You don't break the eighth commandment again and say, yes, I know that's how you feel today, but I know they did the wrong thing, but, you know, let's try to look on the brighter side. You had a good relationship for a while with them, okay? You know? And then so you focus, you try to blend it back to be positive.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up, that you want to maintain the eighth commandment. You want to observe the eighth commandment and not just go on Facebook and talk about how horrible
that's exactly. That's what I said earlier about Facebook. Do not allow the social media to drag you into some negativistic kind of thing about the other person. That is not appropriate. That you asked me earlier today, what was appropriate? It's inappropriate to talk badly about another person on Facebook or any other kind of social gossiping site.
That's inappropriate. Sure, no matter how horrible you feel, no matter how bad the breakup was, you don't need to go post
about it. Correct, because that trains the person to be negative, and you don't want any training in the negative at all.
Mm-hmm. What about, you mentioned, too, in the process in listening and maybe responding, oh, yeah, I know I've been there, or, you know, it happens, and I know what that feels like. What about parents sharing experience of their own, you know, whether they be good experiences or bad experiences? Good idea, bad idea?
Well, it depends what the idea is, okay? If there's, you know, it also depends on the age. Probably not till they get older, because you don't want to, you can really scare kids if you start talking about your past a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can really scare them. I think probably when they get to be 18 or 19 or a little older, like around that age, where they're really understanding at that point about the matrix of relationships, one could say, well, this, you know, I understand he's got that problem or she's got that problem. This was what happened with me. You can sort of get into that then. But that's later on. Earlier, you'll scare the bejeebers out of them, okay? The only difference would be is if, and I hope this never happens, so I make sure that I'm saying this as correctly as I can, is if somebody gets involved in some kind of abusive situation, primarily if it's a boy that's abused a girl and, you know, the girl is coming back with that, and if the mother's ever had any any connection with that in the past of any form, she may be able at that point to say, well, this is what happened with me, okay? And then there's a chance to identify, a chance to select, and a chance to deal with it. But that really needs to be like the back door, way back there, stored and saved kind of comment, rather than one that comes up front, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And usually you got to wait till they're about 16, 17, maybe 18 to get into that, okay? Maybe when they're younger, if it's an abusive situation, hopefully that never happens. But at an older age, they more like at that point they're treating their parents with a we're not as mysterious as parents when we're 18, and they're 18 or 19. We're more resources, and then they might be able to listen to us.
What are the things you mentioned abusive situations, and that I'm sure that could happen either way, a boy or girl.
Right.
What are the things that we need to be looking for, especially in conversations as we're, what do we need to be listening for, I guess I should say, that might be signs of an unhealthy relationship or abuse in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship?
Well, I think what you listen for, you watch for, is behaviors that get away from the model I said earlier. The model that we're using, the standard model, is how much does that person care for you,
mm-hmm.
the opposite person, okay? And if you start noticing that the girl is doing everything the guy wants her to do and not doing anything for her, whatever place he chooses to go, whatever theater he chooses to go, whatever activities they choose to do, the girl doesn't seem like she's got any kind of choice or resource, then you might say, hey, I just noticed that every time you say you want to do X, he's doing Z, and every time you want to do B, he's doing F, and that kind of stuff, and sort of inquire that way, okay? And then for the guy, you might look for is if he looks like he's, and the guys are really notice this, is if it's all about drama, if it's really not about the relationship with him, but it's all about telling people how much she likes your son, telling people on Facebook, or it's all about the histrionics of it, the drama, the theater of it, rather than the relationship itself, okay? For the girl, you watch if she's being used. In other words, she's not being incorporated into the caring relationship. He's not caring for her. He's just using her for whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Telling time or whatever. For the guy, you watch for instances of drama or theater, or that it's mainly more of a social thing than a really personal caring. That's the kind of stuff you look for.
Yeah, I could imagine, when a teen is so infatuated with the other guy or girl that they're just so infatuated that they think that the other person is really, they impose things on them that really aren't there. They imagine things that the other person really cares for them in ways that they really don't.
Right.
And
right. There's a thing it's a guy named Bem, B-E-M, he's at Stanford, it's called self theory. And that is, we always assume the other person, anybody, is like us, okay? For example, I got an Italian background, so I'm going to assume that everybody likes pasta. So if you come to visit my house, No matter what I think about you, otherwise I'm going to get you a bowl of pasta for food. Maybe you can't stand. Maybe you're Lithuanian, you can't stand pasta. Okay, Well, my first assumption is you do. Okay, and so you got to understand that with kids, that's the same thing. You got to tell them that. Guess what? You've got to listen to your other person. One of the ways you care for the other person is to listen to what they like, listen to who they are, listen to what they're thinking, and that's caring for them, because then you're going to get to be able to get beyond yourself. Because relationships are not about helping you, helping yourself. Relationships are about helping the other person. And that's what you focus on, okay? Because, yes, self is well, we all look into the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, we're all about ourselves, okay? And self is a major determinant for how we deal with other people. But one of the wholesome ways of making a relationship is for the guy and the girl to be able to focus away from themselves and focus on what the other person is like and what the other person wants.
Mm-hmm.
And what they care about, as long as it's still okay, wholesome stuff.
All good points. For our listeners who are listening today, if you have a question and you'd like to join the conversation, a question or a comment, you can call us 314-821-0850 if you're in the St. Louis area. Outside of the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email your questions and comments to family@kfuo.org. Dr. Fiennes, culturally, we as in North America, our culture has certainly evolved over the last few decades, probably over the last 50 years. What are some things that have changed in our culture that really affect these relationships. We've talked about social media and media in general. Are there other things in our culture that impact these relationships, boyfriends and girlfriends among teens, and how we need to things that we need to be mindful of as we're caring for our children?
I think there's actually a couple things in particular. We can go on for, we can make a semester course on this. But I think two things. First of all, that there's a lack of standards sometimes. There's a lack of boundaries. I mean, used to be that, you brought the girl home by 10 o'clock, and if you didn't, the father was going to chase you around with a rake or something like that, you know. So you made sure you were home at 9:59 or something like that. I'm joking, you know.
Uh-huh.
Our society tends to be a lack of boundaries sometimes. And I think what we've got to do is bring the kids back home and say, there are some standards, this is what's expected, you know, some general boundaries, and make sure that, in fact, we should raise our kids in our entire life that way so they're used to that in their dating. I mean, at age 5, if you develop boundaries, they're going to have the same boundaries when they're 9 and the same boundaries when they're 15 and 20. So you make sure the standards are there. The second thing is, I do think one big change in our society has been, which is positive, is we focus a lot on abusive behavior and bullying behavior and critical antisocial behavior and how evil it is and how we've got to get away from it. You know, quite frankly, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you could get by with a lot of nasty things and no one would talk about it. They would always hide behind something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it gets Klieg lights on it. So I think one of the positive things in our society, even though culture has changed, is that while boundaries are not there, we try to inbred them in our kids as they get older. For a situation of bullying, you make sure that the person, you telling your kids, make sure that you're not bullied in this relationship. Make sure you're not being used or abused in this relationship. Make sure in any relationship you're in that it's caring about the other person, the person's caring for you, and there's nothing else going on that looks like you're being used. Okay? And I think that's the kind of conversation we can have with our kids now that in 1970 we couldn't, because in 1970 nobody wanted to talk about that. Okay? So
now we want to talk about everything.
Yeah, I think that we want to instill boundaries, instill those foundational structures. The architecture of a relationship is caring and boundaries. The second thing is, what you want to do with them is that you let them know that this is all about caring and not about use and abuse. And if there's any sense of bullying or any sense of using the other person, then you got to say that's the end of the relationship. And that's those are some of the cultural changes that have shifted that are both positive and negative at the same time. The third one, which we talked about earlier, is expression in social media. That is, don't share a private relationship with everybody on earth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a private relationship between you and the guy or the guy and you. Leave it private. If you're not gonna, if all you're going to tell me as a parent, now this is a joke, okay? If all you're going to tell me as a parent is fine, the relationship is fine, that's all you say to people in social media. Don't go on at length about what he did, said, dressed, whatever she was like. Say nothing to anybody else than more than what you're telling me.
That would be good advice for some adults on Facebook, too, I'm sure.
I think so, too. Yeah, you wouldn't believe the kind of stuff that I've seen in Facebook.
Oh, I'm sure. I've seen it, too. So building a meaningful foundation for communication from the very beginning with children sounds like that's really the important part, to be able to communicate clearly with your children so that you can have those open lines of communication when they get into those years where they're starting to be interested in boyfriend or girlfriend, and having that clear communication, and also having good examples of healthy relationships is really what it sounds like it boils down to today.
Yeah, exactly, because what happens is if the boy and girl can see, or girl can see, mom and dad or people around them as adults fostering healthy, caring relationships, then they will more or less want to emulate that. Second thing is, you don't want to be too much of your son or daughter's buddy, but you want to be as close as you can to them so that you always talk with buddies. You know, you want to be an authority figure as a parent, but you also want to be a friend. Just like, if you will, Jesus and that on earth is a buddy to us, will talk to us, will talk with us, okay? And the more you can get that open communication that's free-flowing as possible, you can avoid big, big issues, okay? And you can avoid the issues of the person not knowing how to communicate to other people. Those are critical.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the essence of the relationship is showing care and communicating and understanding the other person and themselves and the parents.
I know some families that they want to make sure that when their son or daughter is spending time with a significant other, that time is a not just healthy, but also inappropriate, that it's spent in an appropriate way. And so they want to make sure that that time is spent together with the whole family or with others in the family or with other adults. What are your thoughts on that and how your son or daughter spends time with a significant other at various stages in, you know, in adolescence?
Well, I think at the early stages, I mean, it might be, you know, and I don't know what the number would be, but the earliest of dating experiences, the earliest, you know, earliest of courting experience or high school experience or whatever, you know, you can incorporate the parents a little bit in there, you know, like, you know, they go to the same basketball game or volleyball camp or whatever, church or whatever, youth group. But there is a natural human growth where there's individuation, okay, where the child grows up and wants to be separate from the family. And so if you focus at all within the family, you will get a normal resentment back from the child, boy or girl, that it's too much. And so you're going to have to allow them some movement outside of that, or else you're never going to get anywhere, okay? I mean, it's a good model to keep it all with the family, but we're not Amish or Mennonites. I'm not trying to be funny here, you know, where there's got to be some individuation there, or else they're not going to sense resentment and react negatively, and you don't want that. You want to be as positive as you possibly can about their life and their development. Positive within boundaries and within reason.
Sure. But obviously, if they don't want to spend any time with the family, then as they get older and they don't want to spend time with the family, with their significant other, is that a sign of something other than just...
Yes, that's an issue where you say part of your relationship with her or him is derived from your relationship with us, okay? And so therefore, we want to sort of be part of this at least a little bit. I mean, if you never see the other person at all with them, that's the other end of this perspective. There's a sort of a normal curve, if you will. One is like always being with the family and them and the boyfriend and girlfriend, always, always, always. The other is never, never, never. So you want a nice blend in the middle, okay? You invite them over for a cookout or a bratwurst fest or a bike ride or something where everybody, going to a swimming pool, where everybody gets to interact at least a little bit.
Right. It doesn't have to be a formal inquisition where
no.
you come over.
You know, it can be, hey, guys, let's all take a bike ride to the zoo, or let's all go to a movie, or Dad's going to cook some brats and burgers this weekend. Come on over, okay? So everybody gets to interact.
And that gives parents an opportunity to see how the significant other is treating, you know, how they're showing respect, or whether or not they're showing respect to
exactly.
one another in the relationship.
Exactly.
And also it provides the kids an example, hopefully, for them to see and model as parents interact and see an example of a healthy relationship. And hopefully they can parents provide that for their kids, and then kids can see that and follow that example.
And hopefully. Emulate it. Yeah.
Right. Emulate it. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Emulate.
Emulate. Yeah.
Any other thoughts before we wrap up? We've got about 2 minutes left, Dr. Fayans. Any other thoughts that you want us, especially for parents to know as they're thinking about this topic of boyfriends and girlfriends for their kids? Dr. Fayans, still there? Sounds like we're having some technical difficulties, but before we wrap up today, I wanted to talk about if you have a topic of for discussion here on Faith and Family, we certainly do welcome your questions, your comments. You can, if you have a topic you would like for us to discuss here on Faith and Family, we welcome that. You can email us here at family@kfuo.org. We're always welcome to welcome your ideas so that we can discuss them and really take some time to hash through them here on Faith and Family, just like we did today with Dr. Jack Fayans. We try to get some experts. If you have an expert that you recommend, certainly send their name our way. We'd be happy to find out more and see if they would be interested in maybe being a guest on Faith and Family as well. Again, that email address is family@kfuo.org. Well, coming up,
God's blessings, everybody. That was great.
Oh, thanks so much, Dr. Fayans. We thought we'd lost you there on the phone for a little bit. So thanks so much for joining us. It's been great having us today. 15 seconds. Any final thoughts?
What I would do is tell a parent to remember their teenage years, to remember how nervous and how tumultuous they were, how scary it was, and let them realize that now they're not teenagers, they survived, and understand that's what their kids are going through, and help them go through it as best they possibly can, understanding all the pitfalls, but make sure it's a caring relationship, because it's all based on caring, but all based on caring within norms and standards.
Excellent. Thanks so much. We appreciate your time today, Dr. Fayans.
God's blessings, everyone.
Thanks.